It's almost 3 o'clock now, so I might as well start with like the announcements. And the only announcement I need to say today is that the introduction to meditation class, this is a series of four classes for those beginning the exploration of meditation, that is being held in the room to my right. This is the ongoing class. So we continue these classes after completing the four introductory classes. We continue the class over here where we teach a little bit deeper and we also go into a little longer period of meditation. The meditation which we encourage here is of about 40, 45 minutes of meditation, beginning with me guiding the meditation for 20, 25 minutes. And then afterwards, people continuing on just quietly. I still sit here, and my job after guiding you the first 20 minutes is to sit here and remember to ring the gong at the end. That's my job, gong ringer. Though rather gong bonger, sounds nicer. And I think many of you are already giggling a little bit. Now that's really important to keep this lightheartedness in meditation. Too much seriousness, too much force, and you end up just getting too stiff. And I haven't said this very simple simile for a long time now, but I'll say it because I see some people who haven't seen here before. Is that how you get the water in a cup to be still? That's, if you like, a goal, is how to get inner stillness, inner peace. You can't hold a glass of water still. You just get tired. It will always be moving. It's the nature of the muscles in the arm always to be on the move. You can't actually, if the muscles are very still, you know, you're dead. So how to keep the water still? To stop holding it. Put it down, let it go, let it be peaceful, let it be still. Allow it to calm down. And that, you see, allowing things to calm down, let it go, let it be. That's a kind of a non-doing. And that's one of the most difficult things in the world to achieve. A non-doing, you think it'd be the easiest thing. You sit here and do absolutely nothing. But very few people can do that. Because we're compulsive doers, compulsive adjusters, compulsive checking up on things. How not to meditate is you put the glass down, it starts to get still, and then you say, is it still yet? Oh, come on, maybe I should put it over here. No, maybe not over here, maybe over there. You don't give it the opportunity to become still. It's an awareness, but not interfering. Knowing, but not doing anything. Sometimes I call that kindness or kindfulness. The kindness part of it, to really understand what kindness is, I like saying the opening the door of your heart unconditionally to this moment. If it's unconditional awareness or kindness, it means you leave things alone. You don't interrupt it. You don't try and change it. If it's something unpleasant, you learn from it. I mean, really mean that learning from it, not by thinking what it means, but allowing it to stay there in front of you, and just through experience, you know it more and more and more thoroughly. By analyzing it, confining it to a description in words, it's impossible. Instead, you just do nothing, aware, kind, leaving alone, let it be. Sometimes people think that that's not the way of meditation. You should be doing something. It's because of the doing we never experience peacefulness. And there's so, so many similes, even from Ajahn Chah, of just how to get into deep meditation to get great insights. All you do, it should be the simplest thing in the world to do. It's like he said, the trees in the forest, the bushes, they only move backwards and forwards because of the wind. If the wind stops, the leaves stop moving. If the wanting, the wishing, the striving stops in your brain, then the brain becomes still. It doesn't move. Slowly, slowly, it gets quieter and quieter and quieter. That's an amazing thing to actually to experience. Or, there's all these similes, some of my similes as well. How does a donkey catch a carrot? Donkey's running after the carrot, run after it, doesn't matter how fast. The carrot's always in front of the donkey's mouth, but never in the mouth. So the donkey learns how to stop. And I love this simile because once the donkey stops chasing the carrot moves further away from the donkey's mouth. The momentum takes it further away. And sometimes that's the people's problems when they start to let go, do nothing. They think everything is going wrong. Any peace, any stillness is going further away from them. Patience, wait. And then the amazing thing is that the carrot starts coming towards you at full speed until it comes very close to your mouth. And the last thing you always remember, the door of my mouth is open to the carrot. And let it come in. You don't go chasing it, you let it come towards you. And that's something which very few people understand. Some do, because they've been instructed by me for a long time now. Sometimes that many people started doing things like breath meditation, watching the breath. And bringing the breath in, okay, I'm going to breathe in and out, be the long breath, a short breath, a middle breath, or whatever. But then, after a while, you find that doesn't work. So what you do is nothing. And then the breath comes towards you. How that works is, why does the breath come and appear towards you, to you? Why? It's because everything else you have to be observe, to be aware of, starts to vanish. The breath is the only thing left. This is what happens when you close your eyes. When you close your eyes, like sights vanish. I notice this, that when I first close my eyes, I can see the inside of my eyelids. Nothing happens. So the brain actually turns off. It doesn't become aware of sights anymore. There's nothing to do, nothing to watch. But then after that, you become aware of sounds, say. You can see how quiet this room is in here. We try to keep it as quiet as possible. And because it's quiet, sound can vanish. And then, you know, we'd have our smell and taste. As long as no one passes wind, you don't smell anything. It smells constant in here. I think that's why in the old days many Buddhist temples would have lots of incense. So the ambient smell would always be the same. But the physical feelings in the body, I mean, after a while, as long as you have a good posture, after a while you can't feel the body. It kind of vanishes. Many people experience that when they just go watch some event somewhere, not a football match because you have to keep moving and that, but if it's like a concert or you're just watching a movie at home or you're just looking at the internet, something really peaceful and engrossing, then you can sometimes watch that and you can't feel your body. Parts of it disappear. You're focusing on something else which is more important to you. And that's kind of what happens in the meditation. You know, you start by just relaxing the body a lot, closing your eyes, keeping quiet. And you may notice after a while, these senses, they kind of turn off. And you can't feel your body. You can't hear sounds. Obviously your eyes are closed, you don't see. And because the body gets comfortable, after a while, even the body feelings disappear. When those body feelings disappear, that's usually when the breath comes up by itself. There's nothing else to watch. To understand that more deeply, if I haven't made the point strongly enough yet, that time when the first of the sensory deprivation chambers, the floating tanks, they're soundproof, They are light proof. You float in water, which is the same density as your human body and the same temperature and density. So you just float there. You can't hardly feel anything. And because of that, after a while, all the five senses are supposed to disappear. And they do, except for your breathing. Everything else is gone. What else is moving and can maintain sensation for your awareness? Just the breath. You can't feel the body, you can't hear sound, you can't see sights. It becomes the breath, becomes dominant. That's one of the reasons why in the meditation, if you do it properly, after a while you can't feel much of the body except for the breath. You just can feel the breath going in and going out, and everything else disappears. It's important, though, in this meditation, as many of you would know, that when the breath becomes clear, see if you can notice the delight of a breath. In other words, just breathing in, it's so peaceful, so simple. And because your awareness should start to grow and become strong, once awareness is strong, then whatever you are aware of, you can know it more thoroughly, more fully. You see more of it. And what you see becomes accompanied by this sense of pleasure, delight. A very beautiful, simple thing to watch. Not boring, but pacifying. This is when, if you can observe the breathing in this way with some joy in your mind, then you find that you can watch that breath for a long period of time. Now, I was going to say hours, and that's true, but usually you go even deeper if you start sitting for that length of time. And you do notice this is not something you do through effort. This you accomplish by restraint, by not doing, by saying no to things, by letting go of things, by putting things down, by not interfering, by being a passive observer, by being quiet, by not wanting things, by renouncing all those words, which is part of the Buddhist way of meditation. And you find you get so peaceful, so still, and also so joyful. The sign of a good meditation, you've got a big smile on your face afterwards. Naturally, not because you wanted it. And what can be more restful when you sit here aware, but you don't force yourself to be aware? You don't make yourself aware. You let yourself be peaceful and aware. Now what you do, what happens when you stop this doing? You make it so peaceful and so still, so natural, so gorgeous. Many of the most beautiful things in this world, like the sunset, or I was saying this during a retreat over in Jhana Grove last week. Sometimes you notice the stars at night over in Serpentine. You have these beautiful stupas. You have these platforms where you can just go and lie on your back and just watch the Milky Way in the evening. And it just moves so slowly. It's so peaceful. There are hardly any sounds there. No sounds of traffic. No aircraft overhead, no wind. It becomes gorgeous there, just sitting there watching the still night sky. And that stillness, that peace, is one of the most delightful things in the world. And once you can notice that delight, that means your mind doesn't wander off anywhere. It can't. You're just really enjoying, you know, the beauty in this moment. And that's what this meditation is about. You get so still, it becomes so beautiful, so delightful. And that can keep you in stillness for long periods of time. You go very, very deep. I know I don't say much about the basic methods of meditation. If you want to learn those, you can go next door to the basic teachings in meditation. As many of you have been meditating for years here. And I just always like to encourage you to go to the deeper states. So you understand what meditation really is about and how powerful it can be. Okay, that's just an introduction. The introduction is to give you some information, but to give you so much information that you can't remember it, you get brainwashed instead, conditioned into just see what happens, perfectly safe. So anyway, if you can, make sure you're in a good meditation posture. Once you're in a good position, close your eyes and check again. You're going to meditate for about 45 minutes until 4 o'clock. So it's important you get yourself comfortable. You have chairs, cushions, lean against the wall if you wish. You soon find a comfortable position for your body where you can maintain a body which does not need to be moved for a long period of time. Not because you hold yourself still, that you let your body be relaxed and still. So I close my eyes and then I start to be aware of my body, part by part. Start off with my feet. Go to the furthest part of my body. I don't usually have any problems with my feet, but I'm determined to bring up my awareness and kindness with my feet first, and build it up as I sweep my attention up my body, from my feet eventually all the way up to my head. But I do it slowly. Even I ask my toes, how are you? And I don't move on until I can, with my eyes closed, be aware of my toes and basically know how they feel. My toes aren't comfortable, that's why I'm moving. I often have to do this, but once I get them comfortable, I can leave them alone for the whole period of the meditation. I feel my toes and learn how to relax them. And people ask sometimes, how do you relax your toes? You just become aware of them first of all, and then be kind to them. I observe any tightness, any tension, any pushing, any squashing, and I let go of the causes for such pushing or squashing or stretching. So my toes are just in a natural position, at ease. Nothing squashing them. And I can feel that. Awareness allows you to know simple thing that how your toes feel. And once that feeling is comfortable, and please make sure all your mobile devices are off. Once I can feel my toes are relaxed, I can then move up to my feet and the soles of my feet, the uppers and the heel. I'm not making this up. I can actually feel those parts of my body now. Simple awareness. It's important to add the extra component of kindness, because then as I'm watching even the soles of my feet, I can feel them relax. That's what the kindness does. I know a part of my body which is tense, it feels different than when it's relaxed. So right now I'm relaxing everything. Until I can experience my feet being really at ease. And when any part of your body is relaxed, it always feels pleasant. When it's tight, tense, squashed, stretched, it's in pain. When it's relaxed, it feels very healthy, at ease. It allows me to let it go. Whatever you want to let go of, be kind to it first. Relax it. It's easy to let it go. Move up to my ankles. I'd have pretty healthy ankles, but nevertheless I check. How do your ankles feel? Later on, with this mindfulness of the body routine, you soon get to know these parts of your body so well. My ankles feel so different than from my knees or my wrists. This ankle feeling. And you know what is a relaxed ankle, what is a tight ankle. So relaxing my ankles as much as I can. I always enjoy this. It feels good. Because it feels good, it relaxes deeper. From my ankles, I go up to the calves. Not just the muscles, but the skin and whatever else I can perceive in that area of my body between my ankles and my knees. I can feel them. Relaxing them. We see just how at ease they can become. It's like I imagine them just letting go, relaxing so much as if they're sinking into the softest of cushions. I enjoy it. I go to my knees. You're well aware the knees feel so different than the calves of your legs. Sometimes those knees have had injuries, but most of those injuries have all healed up. Then I can feel those knees. I try to release any blockages of energy passing through, soften them. Sometimes I imagine just all the little passageways in my knees expanding. So the bodily liquids and forces, whatever, can flow freely through my knees. So it's open, not blocked, not inflamed, totally at ease. And then when I feel I cannot relax them anymore, I move up to my thighs. Usually just the muscles in those thighs. Aware of any sensations as I generally centimeter by centimeter move my or scan my attention upwards. Again, please turn off those mobile phones. And as I go upwards, relaxing everything, until even my legs feel they've been soaking in a hot bath. No tightness or tension anywhere to be seen. Fully at ease. I go past my thighs to my butt, my bottom. And the bottom is always a sensation of pressure transferred from the body onto the cushion, or for you maybe onto the seat of the chair. I try to make that feeling as even as possible, because I know when it's even, nothing will basically change and it will disappear. And that particular physical feeling will vanish. So I go up from my buttocks to my waist. And I already just adjusted my belt. Sometimes it's tight, so I adjust it to loosen it so it feels comfortable. So I won't need to go back there and readjust anything. Keep everything nice and comfortable. And then from the waist, often I just go up my back to relax that back. I don't mind moving it as I just did, as I adjust things, giving that final little tweak of comfort. When I get to the top of my back, to relax those neck muscles or shoulder muscles. Sometimes I try this little trick of scrunching up those muscles in the top of the back. Scrunching them up and then releasing them. And then you go to a point of relaxation which was deeper, more comfortable than when you started. And it also reminds me of what letting go is. You don't do anything, you release any tension, tightness, and everything gets relaxed. But then I have to go back to the bottom of my torso, and I do a scan on the inside of my body, go up my digestive tract, and anything else which is around there, any organs. As I am scanning upwards, if I come up to anything which is tight, painful, aching, or doesn't feel its usual sense of ease or comfort, I just pause there and give it some kindness, some well-wishing, just as I would do if I saw a good friend who was sick. I wish them well, not just with words, you know, but with real kindness. I do that to my own body. As I scan up the body, going up the digestive system, until eventually I come to the stomach, I wish that well too. So everything comes to be relaxed. Sometimes you have to find your way of relaxing parts of your body. But the important thing is, because you're aware, you should see what makes your body more tense, tight, and what releases that tension. And you soon become skilled in relaxing parts of your own body. I keep moving that attention upwards as it gets into the upper part of the torso. That's where many important organs are, not just stomach, but things like your lungs. I can feel those lungs. And I wish them health, ease, comfort, well-being. As you move your attention higher, you know, from your lungs to your heart region, and from your heart region up to your neck. You already did one shoulder muscle relaxation. You find there's anything else there to be relaxed, to be eased, just focus on it and give it kindness. Wish it well. And start scanning your attention, your mindfulness, down the arms, from the shoulders to the elbows. How do your elbows feel right now? If they're relaxed, like nothing amiss with my elbows, the usual feeling of comfort, then go past them to the forearms, to the wrists. How do your wrists feel? If they are tight or uncomfortable, you'll find that you become kind of forced to move them before the meditation is over. It disturbs the meditation. You didn't prepare your body well enough first. So make sure my wrists are comfortable. And also ask my hands, how are you? And if you had your eyes open, you'd have noticed I moved my hands. They weren't in the best position. This initial awareness of the body and kindness, being prepared to move it, to adjust it, will mean that you can sit without needing to move for much longer. You're comfortable. And I can notice especially the position of my fingers. There's so many nerve endings in your fingers. You can know those sensations in your fingers so easily. But the main thing which I am noticing is how comfortable they are. If I can make them more comfortable, I will. And once they are in a very good position, I can leave them alone. And I go back up to my neck. I've often noticed that you can get backaches, neck aches, even headaches, when your head is not positioned well on top of your neck. So often at this point, I just move my head forward a little bit, back a bit, to the left, to the right. Then I can feel the best position for my head on top of the neck. It's kind of a balancing. Once it's balanced, it feels comfortable. So I can move from the experiences, the mindfulness of the experiences in my neck, to my head. And especially in the muscles around my eyes, my mouth, my nose, that area. I think many people can feel those experiences, the muscles, how tight they are, how relaxed they are. And we learn how to relax all those muscles. Don't need to feel fear, pressure, anger, wanting. Those muscles become as relaxed as they possibly can be. and kind to those muscles. Because I'm kind and they relax, this body awareness has led to a feeling of comfort throughout my whole body. Not just the face, the head, the torso, the arms and the legs. And I know I've done a good job when I can very easily perceive, again, it's the delight of bodily relaxation. Feels really good. Pleasant, relaxed, joyful. And I stay with that perception of the pleasure of relaxation. Because I know that takes me into a deeper state of relaxation. The mind likes it and stays there. It's not what I do to achieve something. It just feels good. I stay there for about a minute or two. And then when my body feels relaxed enough, then I turn my focus onto the mind. It's like you prepare the body so it cannot interfere with you. As you go deeper into that part of you which we call the mind, first of all, the quality of peace inside of you. I don't want you to think about peace. I want you to experience it. How peaceful are you right now? Because peace is a component, an important quality, which lives in your mind, not in your body. How peaceful are you? What actually strengthens that experience of peace? Not wanting anything. Being happy to be here. Not concerned and not controlled by your past or fears and plans about your future. Just learning how to be here and enjoy the freedom of not having to measure things, not having to achieve things, not burdened by the weight of the past. And you soon get to know what peace is. And how to deepen it, strengthen it, make it stronger. It's not by what you do makes peace very strong. It's by what you don't do. You don't interfere. You don't be afraid or hopeful in the future. You don't measure yourself by the past. And as you notice peace, that leads by itself into stillness and silence. Silence is the stillness of this thinking process. We all try and measure and assess, and that becomes our thoughts. We learn how to know without putting words to describe what we know. We just know in silence. And you can perceive just how free that feels. Now, as I promised in this meditation, I will now be quiet. And then you explore until we come towards the end of the meditation, when I will ring the gong. Now, enjoy the silence. getting very close now to the end of this meditation period. How does it feel? What is the perception of peace and silence like? How pleasant do you find it? As you start to become aware of your body again, how does the body feel? These are the times when we learn the value of silence. The beauty of peace. I'm now going to ring the gong as I promised. Now usually in the time after the meditation, I prefer beginning with the questions on the internet. So if you've got the tablet, bring it up. The reason I do this is because you can all just quietly just get your basically brain online again. Thank you. So the first question from Sri Lanka. Dear Ajahn Brahm, my lips, hands disappeared and this involuntary twitching during my meditation, but my mind still wanders occasionally. Is this normal at this stage? Everything is normal there. A little bit of twitching, there must be some sort of tension in the body just being released. Just don't give it too much attention, it's just the body doing its thing. If you give it attention, the twitching becomes more disturbing. And if the mind still wanders, ask yourself afterwards, not while you're in the middle of the meditation, why does your mind wander? It's always because there's not enough joy, pleasure, delight in this moment. Sometimes one of those techniques of meditation, just if you're not that deep yet, is to ask yourself, are you happy here? If you really are happy in this moment, the mind doesn't want to wander anywhere. It's happy where it is. It stays still, not because you hold it still, because it doesn't want to go anywhere else. From UK, how do we resist the pull back to doingness? I like that word, doingness. Pulling away from the peace of beingness. Thank you for your teaching. After a while, it's not what you do. It's just you notice your mind goes into almost automatic pilot. It just knows where the joy, the peace, the beauty really is, and you can't resist it. They have a beautiful phrase which the Buddha used, that once you have experience of meditation, it's like the mind leaps into that silence and that stillness. You just let it go, and that's what it does. It recognizes this is beautiful, this is peaceful, this is beneficial. Allowing the body to vanish doesn't need to come back again. The body is always much healthier when you're just noticing the peace of the mind. It enjoys that meditation. So much so that, now hopefully each one of you look forward to coming to the meditation class. It's actually fun. But not fun in a disturbing way. This beautiful, peaceful, delightful state of meditation. And because it's so calm and gorgeous, you can stay in there for a long time. No effort. Just everything cools down and becomes still. But still with lots and lots of awareness. So it's, you do nothing. You don't even do nothing. It's nothing doing. That doing business all ceases. You're totally passive. You're just like the person on a bus looking through the window, experiencing even more peaceful, beautiful, delightful territory, just looking through the window. You don't need to drive the bus, you don't need to park, you don't need to accelerate. You're letting go of all that doing and just enjoying the stillness and the peace of meditation. Next question from Gloria. I do not feel comfortable doing walking meditation in places where a lot of people are passing through. But it's hard to find such a place around the place I live. Any advice? I agree with you. Just go inside the place you live. In other words, you can find a corridor somewhere and just walk quietly along that corridor. You know, often when I go overseas to teach, they put me up in hotels or cheap hotels. But I always remember that, you know, from the door, past the toilet, past the bedroom, or past the bed rather, it's only about 10 meters or something, but that's more than enough to do some walking meditation. But you do the slow walking meditation, where you start to become aware of every movement in your feet. You don't walk around, the mind doesn't wander, it focuses. And it's just a different position than sitting down. So you feel quite comfortable. You develop that slow walking, especially in confined areas. So you can have a wonderful, peaceful time. Okay, now any questions from people here? Did that work today? Meditation peaceful? No, I enjoyed it. But sometimes I feel I'm supposed to be teaching, not just indulging. But sometimes I can't avoid it. Okay. It's good that we finish a little bit early today. I'm supposed to finish at 4:15. Has someone got a question there? Okay. Because this afternoon, again, I'm going out to invitation to another ceremony over in Supreme Court Gardens. Can't stay for too long. Please, Eddie, just a question. Oh, no. Okay. Who's doing the questions? Okay. Thank you, Eddie. No questions? Going. Gone, okay. So we can finish now, and I'm going to bow three times. And those of you who wish to ask questions privately, just in front here, I'll be available here for another 20 minutes. And this is just in case you didn't know that tomorrow we're having a New Year celebration here, Southeast and South Asian New Year. So there won't be a sutta class in the afternoon. That has to be cancelled for tomorrow. Okay, great.